Hello, and welcome to the Community IT Innovators Technology Topics Podcast, where we discuss nonprofit technology, cybersecurity, tech project implementation, strategic planning, and nonprofit IT careers. Find us at communityit.com. Thank you for joining Community IT for this podcast, Part 1. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits. Listen for Part 2 in your podcast feed.
Welcome, everyone, to the Community IT Innovators presentation on thoughtful tech tool selection for nonprofit impact. Today, we're going to hear a case study from the Healthy Communities Foundation on how they approach their workflow around reporting and evaluating grantees from an equity perspective and redesign their process, which included selecting and repurposing some common tech tools, including Asana, as a workflow manager. So I'm really excited to hear about this work because I think we can all benefit from hearing more about specifics, about how an organization analyzes their business needs and fits those tech tools to their needs. And I'm especially interested in the way they try to intentionally improve equity, which is a work in progress for so many of us at our organizations. So my name is Carolyn Woodard. I'm the Outreach Director for Community IT and the moderator today. Our learning objectives for today are to learn a practical application of a trust-based approach to reporting, connecting your organizational values to how you use tools in practice, how to get the tools working for you versus you working for the tools. So I think we're going to talk more about how you take those big picture values and make it useful in your 9-to-5, making the tools you have live up to your vision and your values. And learn a little bit about how to assess where you are and where you want to be. And of course, the structure that you have can free you up, create options, it could have constraints involved in it. I think Healthy Communities Foundation had a lot of ability to be agile with this because they're a younger organization with a lot of trust among their team. It's a pretty small team. And they thought a lot about how it would feel on the passenger side as well, allowing the grantees to be a part of the process. I want to remind everyone that for these presentations, Community IT is vendor agnostic. So we only make recommendations to our clients and only based on their specific business needs. We never try to get a client into a product because we get an incentive or a benefit from that. We do consider ourselves best of breed IT providers. So it is our job to know the landscape, what tools are available, reputable, and widely used. And we make recommendations on that basis for our clients based on their business needs, priorities, and budget. So I am really excited today to talk more about Asana because I know a lot of nonprofits are using it. I'm sure some of you are here in this webinar to hear more about it. But I want to make sure to just clarify, there's lots of project management tools out there. We're not recommending Asana over other ones or saying like it's the best. It really depends on what you have, what you need, what you're going to use it for, all of those questions. I'm very happy to hear from our expert. Jillian, would you like to introduce yourself and Healthy Communities Foundation?
Hi, everybody. My name is Jillian Knight. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm calling from the city of Chicago, which is also historically known as the Council of Three Fires that was the Potawatomi, Odawa, and Ojibwe tribes. But we also have a very thriving Native population that's still contributing to the city to this day. So a little bit about me before we get started. I have a background in youth development work, in food access and housing. And so once a youth programmer, always a youth programmer. So I might try to make or crack some bad jokes. And since I can't see you, you'll have to just bear with me. So I'm really excited to talk to you today. I don't know if I would call myself an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm definitely a person that tries to use the tools I have to like work smarter, not harder. I was about to say harder, not smarter, which I think some of us often feel that. So Healthy Communities Foundation is a health conversion foundation that resources on the west and southwest side of the city of Chicago, all the way out into suburban Cook County. As a health conversion foundation, we fund a geographic region defined by the original service area of McNeil Hospital, whose sale in 1999 established our endowment. And so our mission is that we are a community-informed grant-making foundation that seeks to measurably improve the health and well-being of individuals, families, and communities in our service region by promoting health equity, quality, and access. And so on the slide, there's some figures about like the who and the what that live in our region. And then this is our grant-making strategy. So we resource in four specific ways. We give general operation support. We give capacity building resources, and then strategic initiatives and responsive funding. It is the belief of the foundation that flexible funding and a trust-based approach is the best way to serve organizations because we trust them to know how to use the resources. So all of these things, especially our responsive funding, we believe that as a foundation, this is not our money. It's a community, like it is health conversion. It is a community asset. And we see ourselves as stewards of the asset. So even though we have like a grant cycle where people apply, it's very standard. We also believe that the door to the resource should always be open, which is why we have this responsive funding component. But today I'm going to be talking about our general operations support work. So that's kind of the how we fund. And this is the what we fund. So we have four different funding areas. The first is access to quality health services, because we know that so many people do not have physical access, linguistic access, transportation access to quality clinical care. And so we resource organizations that are being very innovative in that work. The next thing that we resource is organizations that are addressing the social determinants of health. We also know that so much of an individual's health is determined by things outside of a clinical care space. So where you live, where you work, where you play, where you grow, where you love and worship are all places that can impact your health. And so for organizations working in that space, we resource there. We also, especially coming out of the pandemic, but it's been true for a very long time, is that there are some political determinants of health. So how organizations, we resource organizations that organize communities to push and pass policy that impacts health. So that is like a really kind of community organizing, power building, base building. And then the last one is augment local health knowledge. So the public health field is really crowded with data, but it lives in institutions that are not in community areas. And so we also resource organizations and institutions to ensure that data is actually living in the communities that the data was collected from, instead of having it extracted out and lived in institutions. So it's really about connecting people's lived experience with the data that has been collected about them so that they can make meaning of it on their own and develop their own solutions. So that's just a little bit about HCF.
So we wanted to get a little information from you about how your organization approaches software selection. So the first option is we gather stakeholders and go from there very thoughtfully and strategically. Second selection is it's a free-for-all. Every department or staff can purchase tech tools for themselves. The third option is the IT department decides what everyone can use. And the fourth option is something else or not applicable. So I want to stress, like, there is no right answer to this question. There's no judgment. There are so many different nonprofits with so many different, styles and internal culture and management, tech savviness, all of those things kind of fold into this question. So we just wanted to kind of get you thinking about how thoughtful you are already about choosing your technology tools that you're using for different business processes that you're trying to kind of organize. Jillian, could you read the results for us?
Sure. So the most popular was we gather stakeholders and go from there very thoughtfully and strategically. Congrats. The next, there was a tie for third with it's a free-for-all. Every department or staff can purchase tech for themselves. And the IT department decides what everyone can use or other not applicable.
Well, that's great. That is great to hear. So I think you're in the right place if you're trying to find more information about how to organize this selection process and listen to this case study. And then if you're just looking to get like a few more tips on how you could be even more thoughtful about it, you've come to the right place too. We're going to go ahead and start with the case study from Jillian.
Great. Thank you. So I'm going to share a little bit about kind of the problem and then the way that we use technology to kind of solve the problem that I'm going to outline. I was brought on to Healthy Communities Foundation to help the organization figure out how we were going to define learning and evaluation and impact. And so often with evaluation means you have to do some reporting. And so we kind of created a theory of change and an evaluation framework and indicators. And like we launched that in winter of 2021. So right here, you can see this kind of like data collection timeline. So we have information from the grant application. We have site visits. Organizations got their award in summer 2021. So I have a degree in public health. So if you think of our grants as like a dose, so the dose is the grant because we have like some pre-test. We give a grant out and then we have our report to kind of see what changed as a result of the resources. So one thing that I believe in is that like we should have and engage in choice. And also that in the past, my experience as a person who was a grant seeker, my program officer often would act like they've never met me before, never heard of our organization before. And it just starts blank slate every grant cycle. And that's just not how human beings work. And so the other thing is I had program officers that I did not want to hang out with, if I'm being totally honest, and I wanted to limit the amount of time I spent with them. So kind of like holding all of these things together, we've embedded choice in our grant making process in two different ways. So the other thing that I was going to share is that this is the first time that Healthy Communities Foundation had done reporting. And because it was our first time, we were allowed to experiment with something that had never been done before. I was sitting in a session where two foundations were talking about how they had totally removed applications and reports and that the program officers do them all by check-in conversations. And then there was an argument that kind of broke out in the workshop because the belief that like all the reporting requirements and applications being done by the program officer could rob community of voice, could be misrepresented. And so then people were like saying that written word is better. And I just sat with the fact that there were no nonprofits in this conversation at all. It was philanthropy arguing with itself about what is best, but it wasn't really informed by any of the partners that they have to interact with. So I was like, well, why can't we do both? Like it was new. So these are the two places that we've been able to embed choice. For organizations that we have had a prior funding relationship with, they have the option to have like a long, because for like equity purposes, like if you want all 75 minutes with me and my bad jokes, you can do that. But if you're like, keep it pushing, like you can select a 45-minute Zoom call to just kind of update me on what's going on with your organization. So that's kind of choice one. And the other piece is when we set out on this reporting process, we used all the data collected from the application, site visit, grant award, grant term. There was also like parallel to this, our 2022 cycle open. So we took information from site visits, conversations, emails, newsletters, and pre-filled their written application. We notified everybody that their report has been partially filled and that they had the option to either just write their report and submit it, or they had the option to schedule a 30-minute phone call with myself or my colleague Danny on the learning team to talk through their answers. And so that it was an experiment. We piloted it with two grantee partner organizations that were very different. One very small nonprofit under $500,000 is budget size. And then we did a large health institution. And both gave us some really interesting feedback. The smaller organization said that they wanted, because I was like, I don't know how useful this is for you, but they actually shared like our report for their work. And the leader at the small org was like, actually, I would like a copy of my report, because so often in conversations with funders, I say something really important that I wish I had written down so I could put it in a different application. So they encouraged us, because I felt like it was too big brothery to record. And so that we could offer the transcript. And then it helped us on the back end, because then I didn't have to like type and listen and do all of that together. So our piloting process really helped us kind of flatten or like kind of decrease more, like make our process a lot more frictionless. So that's kind of how we got to this place of like, just how do our partners feel about either checking in with us verbally or written? It was about half and half. So about half of our partners did written, half did verbal. And the big thing that we learned is that writing a report wasn't the favorite, but verbal wasn't the favorite either. That the strongest finding we had was they liked the ability to choose. I'm going to talk about some of our like the values that we have as a foundation, what tool we used, and then like how it showed up in practice. So we believe that in order to build trust, you have to be in relationship. So like a relational approach sometimes requires having a conversation versus an email. And so we use a tool called Calendly, where people are able to schedule time to meet with us. So that was something that we were able to deploy when we were launching reporting. We use it for our site visits and check-ins. It is a time saver. The amount of emails back and forth to try to find a good date is always tough. And Calendly really eliminates a lot of that back and forth. And so then, and again, with this practice piece, organizations are able to choose what works best for them on their timeline, and it syncs with my calendar. And so it does all that kind of administrative work for me. The other thing is a trust-based practice called doing the homework. And so we took on finding answers to some of our reporting questions in site visit notes, applications, all of that stuff. And we were able to pre-fill their, like kind of the different questions and sections with information they've already provided us. One, to kind of honor the work that they've already done. Two, to also signal the kinds of things that we were thinking about in response to those questions. Because for some people, if I ask you what is a square, someone might say a shape, but someone else might say a person that follows the rules. And so the piece of that is when we pre-fill, we are able to signal that if I'm asking you what is a square, here's some examples of shapes, you're able to respond in shapes. So that has been really helpful for us. And it also has led to better answers and data because of that signaling. And then in a conversation, we can say, again, what is a square? And they start saying a person that follows the rules. And I'll be like, actually, we were thinking more like shapes. And then we, again, back to better data. So that's that piece too, because we want to use what we have and put the burden on us, because we're the ones that are mandating reporting, not them. And so we should be the ones doing all the like heavy lifting, and then they can do the refining work. We also have like a value of being a learning foundation. We want to know and build the case for why general operations support, and specifically multi-year commitments of general operations support. Like, we're looking to build the case for why more resources need to be done in this way, and adjust our practice and approach year over year. So our first year we learned that flexible funds were critical for staffing. And then this year, a really interesting finding from our multi-year partners is they're like, using unrestricted funds for like utilities, like keeping the lights on. And so there's something going on that we're going to start asking about. So we're able to like iterate with what we learn and point to what we heard and then point to the action that we're able to take. So for this completing the report piece, the grant management system we use is WiseHive. So that's that pre-filled place. We utilize Zoom and then Otter AI as our transcription service, as well as Calendly to kind of have multiple modalities to collect better data so that we can build relationships with organizations. Because nobody like has amnesia every time you talk. Like, I think it's really useful to be able to do that. And then another value is like organizing our process and progress internally. One thing that we've been working really hard at HCF is how do you communicate or quickly learn how everybody's projects are doing without bothering them all the time? Because like how many times have we gotten the email or the like Teams message like, hey, what's the status on XYZ? So for us, I wanted to minimize that kind of like, I don't want to say tinkering, but it slows me down when I have to reorient you to like where start, middle, and end is. So we used Asana to manage this process of the reporting thing that we were doing so that my team members could see, oh, we haven't reached out to this organization. Oh, I'm planning on having a conversation with them. I see they haven't done their report. I'll remind them. So it allowed a level of visibility across the project that like freed up my time and my like colleagues' time, in addition to like having all the critical documents related to the process linked to the Asana board as well.
Thank you for joining Community IT for this podcast, part one. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits. Listen for part two in your podcast feed. Community IT does these free webinars and podcasts for our community, and we love sharing our knowledge and experience. If you have more questions or are having trouble with your IT at your nonprofit, please get in touch with us on our website, www.communityit.com, so we can start a conversation or schedule an assessment. Downloading any of our free resources there will get you signed up for our webinar reminders, and you can attend our next webinar in real time and ask our experts your own questions. If you love podcasts, please subscribe and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits.